Welcome to Living Life on Purpose on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Streisauer, and I'm a holistic life and career coach. And I've spent decades expanding my own consciousness, and I've found lots of resources for the body, mind, and spirit that I think you're going to love. On Living Life on Purpose, I'm going to be introducing you to many authors and experts on a wide variety of topics, including sustainability, spirituality, optimal health and well-being, and inspirational authors, musicians, and entertainers. We're going to give you new insights and possibilities to enhance and enrich your life. Be inspired for life and join me today on Living Life on Purpose. Well, welcome to the show today. I'm really glad to have everybody with me, and I'm thrilled to be back on air. I've had a little hiatus over the last few months as my partner has been going through some cancer treatments. And speaking of him, he is doing really well. And for all of you guys that know me and love me and friends and followers alike, I want to say thank you so much for sending all of your positive thoughts and energy and kind of being with me as part of the journey and for helping him heal. So it's made a difference, and I want to, like I say, thank you again and let you know my deep gratitude for your work and your energy and your love and just holding the space for me and for him. So it's been wonderful, and thankfully he's doing well. He's home. And so we're going to be back on track with regular shows again on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I'm going to be back doing the Living Life on Purpose show every Monday. So thank you again. And my topic for today is yoga. And I love yoga. I've done yoga off and on over the decades with many different instructors. And I found that it's a wonderful tool for vitality and health. And it's also something great that as we age, it gives us flexibility, focus, and strength. And so that's what I'm using yoga for today. And my goal is at 60, which is a year and a half from now, to be as flexible as I was at 20. So that means not only do I need to get my body into shape, but I also need to energetically open all the passageways and bring the light in so I can have my body back to the shape it was in my 20s. So that's my mission and my purpose, and I have a fantastic yoga teacher who has been my mentor in this journey, and she's going to be my guest today, and so I'm thrilled to have her on because she does yoga in some really interesting ways, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But I also thought that it was really ironic that I would have her on the show today because yesterday was the International Day of Yoga. And so for those of you who are interested in a more passive exercise that you can do in the comfort of your own home and something that is just for you. You can also do it in your office, which we're going to talk about today, and what you can do in a short 10-minute break when you're at work and yet you want to maintain your body's flexibility so that you don't soar when you wake up get at the end of the day to leave. And I've also posted some great videos online on the Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page to help you if you want to do that with both an OM challenge from the International Day of Yoga as well as a 30-day challenge. And Liz will also share some more of her information as well as we go through the interview. And before we jump into the show, I want to give you a little information about me and my work and my own purpose, which is to help humanity connect with the divine in practical ways that fulfill people and enrich the planet. So every one of my segments, whether it's sustainability, spirituality, authors, health, whatever it is all about that as a life purpose. I want to put content out on the planet that people can use and that they can feel empowered and inspired by. And so I have a new website. It's SuzanneStreisauer.com, and you can check that out. I have lots of interesting resources and guidance and articles, and you can go check everything out. Also, if you want to get a free coaching session, you can sign up for one of those on my website. Just go to the contact page. And I also have a free guidebook, 7 Steps to Living a More Purposeful Life, which you are also welcome to sign up for. And I always do a segment on cosmic impacts for today, and these are courtesy of Michael Lennox, an amazing astrologer and psychologist. And we just had the summer solstice yesterday. But one of the things that I didn't realize was that what Michael says is that the summer solstice energies actually last for 3 days. And so we have whatever influences going into Cancer and self-care you started yesterday are going to be with you for another couple of days. So I want you to think about how it is that you love self-care, you love helping yourself, and you want to continue doing that and actually expanding on that. And today is Fire Trine with Jupiter and Uranus in Leo to Aquarius. So imagine that trine aspect, and then which are nice aspects, and so that's abundance and awakening coming together. So if you want to go and really work with astrology, I really recommend Michael Lennox, and that's michaellennox.com. And all the resources that I mentioned today are also going to be on my Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page. So if you missed something, I spoke it too quickly, someone gave their contact information too quickly, you can find it again on the Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page. And also my intro music is from Mona Garcia, and I want to thank her, monagarcia.com, for her wonderful music and that sort of spiritual, gentle component to the show every week. And so now I want to just get started with my show because I have a fantastic guest for you all. And the thing that's really kind of inspiring to me and miraculous about Liz is that she and I live nearby. So what's the what's the probability of meeting somebody who's going to be a yoga teacher in a remote location like where we live in the rural foothills of Northern California? And here we both are at 15 minutes from each other. So it's quite a remarkable connection. And it was kind of love at first sight when I met Liz. And so we've had this wonderful kind of connection ever since. And I'm proud to say I've been doing yoga on a weekly basis ever since we first met, which is our anniversary was this month last year. So Liz Sumpter is my guest. And the other thing that's really interesting about her is that she was a competitive bodybuilder turned yogini and yoga teacher. She has taken her yoga practice to a new level where she now blends her knowledge of the body and muscles structure from bodybuilding to help her yoga students actually develop core strength from within the postures. And so she specializes in working with people 50 and older and helping us maintain our strength and flexibility and doing all kinds of really interesting things that no other yoga teacher has ever done. So, Liz, I want to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on today.
So, Liz, you and I know each other, but my audience doesn't know you. So I want you to tell everybody a little bit about your background as a bodybuilder and, you know, just how much you love being in your body and how you have worked hard with your body. So people get a sense of, you know, the physicalness of you and your awareness of the body and then how you've translated that into all these different things.
Well, I guess to start, I've always enjoyed bodybuilding. I was turned on to it when I was in high school, strictly for the use of swimming, building muscles for swimming. But I really enjoyed the bodybuilding. So throughout time, that had always been my exercise. I would, you know, just wander off to the gym and do bodybuilding. When I was about 40, I went ahead and competed and did all right and really enjoyed that. But right after that, I became ill, and I had to have some reconstructive surgery done inside my stomach area. And going back to the weights became a real difficulty. It started straining things and causing other problems. So I went on this mission looking for something new to do. I've always had exercise in my life. And I tried some yoga classes, and I really did not enjoy them. They were not my thing. Most of them had been vinyasas, and I didn't know any different between any type of yoga or anything. I was just getting out there, reaching out there. And after a while, I was just kind of disgusted. I just really couldn't find anything that worked for me. And a friend of mine talked me into going to a yoga class, and she really taunted me for 5 months. And finally, I gave up, and I went to this class, and it was called Iyengar Yoga. I had never heard of it, couldn't spell it, and wasn't really that interested, to be honest. I was more quieting my friend. And in this class that was an hour and a half taught by my mentor, Tom Hess from Chico, I fell in love again. It was this slow yoga. It was this posing, this activity of using the muscles, and my entire body related to this. Of course, my body had been lifting muscles, and my shoulders were extremely tight, and bending over and touching my toes, that was just not doable. I had spent all these years just building muscle and really kind of, I guess you could call, shortening my body. And so all of a sudden, all these things became very accessible to me. And the more that I did it and the more that I worked at it, I fell in love. And therefore, hence, went to school and as well became a teacher. And
so
then
when you did that,
go ahead.
So talk about what Iyengar is. Tell us what Iyengar is different than like Hatha or, you know, some other kind of yogas. What exactly makes Iyengar?
Well, you know, I guess the first thing to say is Iyengar is a style of yoga. And there are many different styles, such as Hatha and such as Vinyasa, and we could go on, Bikram, hot yoga, so on and so forth. Iyengar, in my interpretation, is a slower, more concentrated on the breath and the muscle than all of the movement. It slowed everything down and allowed those of us that were a little bit older, not stretching as much, and some that were hurt and injured, it allowed us to align our bodies and do yoga. It didn't matter our physicality. And I just found this so interesting. And no matter what wasn't working at that time, I was still building strength and muscle there. And that embodies Iyengar, I think. It is just this wonderful, intense concentration on alignment of the body as well as building strength and muscle without moving quickly, using the breath. And that would be
so
its style, I would say.
In doing that in one way, you know, I'm no expert on bodybuilding by any stretch of the imagination, but it would seem like when you were doing bodybuilding, you would hold a posture, like a certain stance in bodybuilding, which would be similar to holding a yoga posture, right?
Very much so. I would have to say, though, in bodybuilding, some of the stances we took were not healthy for us. So,
no, because they're more arbitrary than healthful.
Exactly, exactly. And then on top of that, putting weight on them. So I felt good. My psyche felt good. But the reality is that, you know, definitely some injury was going on. And in yoga, I was able to find this complete new form of my own body that I had not really accessed.
So you talk about, like, just like that, your form of your body, the alignment, the strength. So how does that start, Liz? Does that start as a mindset? Does that start as just following your breath? Or do you actually get into certain positions that help facilitate that?
Definitely get into certain positions that help facilitate that. Loosening up different joints, opening up different areas that don't get exercised daily. Breathing into them and holding the positions and really sensing them and feeling what the muscles are doing.
Yeah, because I have to say that, you know, I've done yoga in the past and I haven't felt a connection to that or necessarily my body. And this time, you know, in working with you, I can really see how everything fits together and how you can actually strengthen yourself, give yourself more flexibility, give yourself more mental control. And I know that you actually sometimes talk about some of the postures or positions that we get into actually help you for emotional well-being. How does that work?
A lot of that comes from the direct yoga philosophies. So for each pose, they feel that they're some of them are emotionally strengthening. Some of them are strictly just for physical strengthening. Some are made to quiet the mind so that you are concentrating so hard on the pose that you begin a meditative state. So I would say that each pose, and not every one of them, and there's different variations, we can use to access different things, whether it be mental, physical.
You know, that's fascinating. And I know that one of the things that you've said is that you can, you don't have to be an expert to get benefit out of yoga. Like, you can just be starting and getting benefit out of yoga.
Yes, I think, you know, there we go. Another real facet to Iyengar is no matter how you are now and no matter how new you are, there is a benefit in the everyday of doing these simple poses. And even if you are not perfect, like the front of a magazine, and that has nothing to do with what you're doing. We're teaching you to align yourself within yourself perfectly, and there is just such a beauty and such such an awesome feeling of that. So from the beginning, you start learning this, and it just feels so good to become so aware of your body.
And so centered inside. So when you first start teaching students, Liz, like for people listening and maybe not in the Oroville area, what is it that you recommend people do first? Do they start with a breath work? Do they start in a particular posture? How do you recommend people get started in yoga?
Well, this is a tough one, but my answer to you is really take the time to find a basic yoga class. There'll normally be a set of four or five of them. You'll find that most studios, most places may offer those in January is the most common time that you'll see them, and every now and then in October and September. And I strongly suggest that right at first we always start with posture. I love to start with the basic postures that they're aware of, that they have seen, that the, some of the information that has brought them there. And I like them to just breathe when they're with me, just breathe. As they become more skilled, I start giving them breath work. I don't like them to be confused at first. At first, we're just going to get used to the body. We're going to access all the different muscles and maybe talk to them. And a lot of them we don't access anymore. So we just, I call them mind imprints, reminding your mind that it remembers that these things do exist here in our body. So, like I said, really strongly find a basic set of classes, and therefore you won't feel lost or exerted or confused.
Okay, so if we were going to just do like a basic, most basic breath work that people could actually be doing while they're listening to this show with us, Liz, can you walk them through how to breathe in a way that will be helpful for them as they're listening to our show?
Sure, absolutely. I think right now with this heat coming on here in Northern California, and I believe pretty much across the United States, a breath right now is what they in Sanskrit would call ujjayi. It is a cooling breath. And I find this breath is, we should access it through our life in every day. So when you are out gardening in the morning and that sun starts to beat on you, I would like you to start using your ujjayi breath for your own physical health. And again, really pertaining to the heat, helping keep our inner cool. So how we start this breath is very simple. I just want you to be breathing, be simple, just kind of take a nice couple deep breaths. I'd like you to close your mouth, and I'd like you to just naturally breathe your breath in and out of your nose. Now, when you close the mouth, it can be a touch open, but I don't want you breathing in and out of it. I'd also like you to take your tongue and lay them in the bottom set of teeth. Just cradle it, let it be relaxed down there, not included in the breathing process. So you just are breathing in the nose, out the nose, gently in the nose, and out the nose. And make this breath rhythm your rhythm. Don't try to create a rhythm. Don't count. Just in, gently out, gently. Again, ujjayi breathing, cooling breath. I always say that when we're getting out of our car, walking into the market, and it is so hot out, close your mouth, take your ujjayi breath, become aware of it for that 60-second walk across the parking lot, helping your body maintain coolness, maintaining a nice breath and comfort during the heat.
You know, it's interesting because I'm doing that kind of for the first time as we're doing this show right now in this way, and I can feel it all the way up into my sinus cavities, Liz. Like, I can feel the coolness in my sinus cavities. So, and I also feel how open they are. You know, my right's more open than my left. But if people are, they have sinus trouble, is that breathing harder to do for people who have sinus trouble, or can they still do it?
Absolutely. People that have sinus trouble mostly cannot breathe through their noses, and it's an extreme difficulty. Also, they have feelings of anxiety because they can't get a deep breath. So there we would turn around and completely change this breath into a mouth breath. Again, keeping the mouth gently closed. At this point, I would actually bring my tongue in front of the opening of my mouth and trying to breathe gently, slowly, without opening, in and out. Not as effective at cooling, but will also help you as a sinus sufferer continually to recapture your breath. Putting your tongue in front of your mouth is allowing some of it to move through the sinal cavity and the top of the roof of the mouth, again, helping to make it a cooling breath instead of a hot breath coming in. You know, helping keep the body cool and centered.
Well, the other thing I'm noticing as we're doing this is it really opens your third eye up. Like you can just really kind of open your awareness up with that. Really kind of gets you in your body and really kind of gets you centered inside of yourself.
Yes, definitely. A cooling breath. Another part of Ujjayi breathing, as we start working in poses, and this would be while we are doing a flow movement, such as a sun salutation, where we're doing 12 continuous exercises. And when we continue to move through them, we use the Ujjayi breathing. And again, that is to help create just a complete focus on the movements that you're doing so that you're right there in them and that you're sensing them within your own body. Also using it as to quiet the mind. When we do the Ujjayi breath, if you pull back a little bit on your tongue, you can actually make the noise of breathing within your own head. You hear it as if you were holding a seashell to your head. And just listening to your own breath also quiets the mind. Just listening to the incoming and the outgoing. And just listening to that breath over and over again as you're doing posture creates this complete silence inside, this tranquility, really beginning to move into the beginning phases of meditation, quieting of the mind, really helping you center with the earth, feel more calm within your own body.
I'm loving this, Liz. I think this is great. Now, people could use this also in their office as an office routine, like for that 10-minute break if they're really tired, just to kind of like do a power nap without having to nap, right?
Absolutely. With their eyes closed, sitting up or sitting on the floor with their back propped up against a wall, giving them some more comfort and some more quiet. Absolutely, especially if you're on the phone a lot, answering a lot of questions. Your mind is darting many different ways during work, all kinds of things going on there. And to be able to sit down and ground yourself to the earth's energies and bring them into yourself, creating that stability through breath is just wonderful. And like you said, 10 minutes worth is like an entire nap. It's lovely.
So now that we're talking about, you know, the office stuff, Liz, and grounding yourself, talk about, you know, how you teach people to ground. Like if they were in an office, sitting in an office chair, at a desk, in a cubicle, how would they go and use this breath and sitting in a chair to actually ground themselves with the earth?
Well, sitting with the chair, you definitely are going to be using your mental more. A lot of times, again, we sit down on the ground to connect a little bit deeper. But in a chair, just pushing away from your desk completely so that you're not attached to any of these electronics. If you wear an earpiece, take that out as well. Leave it on the desk so that you are just with, you know, hopefully just yourself. And sitting in a chair, making your legs parallel, in other words, looking down, your feet, your knees are bent, and your feet are even right next to each other, bringing in your stomach, straightening up your back a little bit, taking in a very deep breath, and releasing it through your mouth. Let your shoulders drop down. Bring your palms to a comfortable area on your lap. You can let them hang if you would like. And closing your eyes. And then just deeply bringing in the breath. I take this breath deeply. I take it all the way. I know that breath only comes to the bottom of your rib cage, but you can feel a sense of it bringing it all the way down into your bottom itself. Help lengthening and strengthening your back. And then again, just releasing it. Straightening your back like this, not having the bend, not having your arms extended. Really healthy for you to stop, you know, your electronics and your typing. Give your body that break. And when you feel some calmness coming on there, maybe just gently open the eyes and with a deep breath in, bend over and touch your toes, releasing all that breath. And then opening the eyes and looking down at the earth and just connecting from the top to the bottom of your body, just connecting with yourself here. Taking a couple breaths here, never stop breathing. And then again, taking a deep breath and bringing yourself up, bringing those eyes closed again, dropping the shoulders down again. And just breathing. It's really good for you. Also, during this time, I always reach my arm, my right arm, way up into the air, right next to my ear, and I just stretch up. Reach for the sky, opening up every joint in my body, and then I bring it back down. Just letting all this oxygen just enter everywhere in my airways, in my body, in my physical body. Just let it come all the way through. And then, of course, I reach my left arm up and do the exact same thing. Deep breath in as I reach up, really stretch. If it creates a yawn, yawn right there. Take a big yawn and release. And right there, just let that breath go, open the eyes gently, and come back into the office. This is where you have to be and the things that you need to do. I always strongly suggest here that you stand up, and I take a yoga walk. And what a yoga walk is I look down at my feet, and I make sure that they're parallel on the inside, that they're not pointing out to the left or pointing out to the right or being sloppy in any way. So I tuck my butt in. And then I just gently walk over to the water dispenser, and I gently walk back, only with the awareness of just walking parallel, stretching my body up, just connecting with my feet, then letting them connect with the earth, and walking back to my chair. And, of course, taking a sip, little dry mouth from all that breathing, and return back to work. Put that earpiece back in and get back to it.
Oh, I love that, Liz, how natural and how healthy that is. I mean, what a great, simple exercise for people to go and use to just recenter themselves and recalibrate during the day, which doesn't mean you have to change your shoes, it doesn't mean you have to do anything, doesn't mean you have to put on, you know, you just can be who you are and just go take care of business.
I feel so strongly with yoga. One question that comes up so much in my line of work is, you know, should I be going to class 7 days a week? There's a big controversy on that. My take on it from being a full-time mother of three and working a full-time job of 9 hours a day, and we'll just add the soccer and all those other things that go with all of that, there was not time to do yoga every day. I would take one or two classes a week when I could, and I live my yoga every single day. So what I mean by that is when I'm driving in the car, I take my awareness with me, and I be aware of my breathing. So on my way to work, I make sure to take nice breaths, and I release all that breath, all that hot air, and bring in some nice, cool breath. I look at my legs, and instead of letting them fall out to the side and kind of half of a foot over there on the gas and doing my normal every sloppy day thing, I bring my knees in, and I straighten them up, and I straighten my back up, and again, I just drive that 15 minutes to school with the kids with awareness in my hips, with awareness in my legs. And I just believe that every day going into the restroom, as we bend over our sinks, step back from the sink a little bit, do a nice half forward bend right here and brush your teeth or rinse your mouth out and then gently come up. So I believe that yoga was meant to be used in every day, in every way of everything that we were doing, as long as we take the time to apply it. And I'd love to teach that part of yoga. I love to teach people to do yoga while they're gardening, while they're working, while they're doing what they need to do.
So it sounds so natural. Are there any do's and don'ts that you recommend that people have with this whole process about, you know, how to use yoga and what to do and what not to do? I mean, obviously, you know, my little intelligent self decided I was going to do a headstand, and then I hurt myself because I wasn't doing it the way you wanted me to do it. So are there do's and don'ts for people about yoga that they should know before they start?
Absolutely. There's and ones that I don't think are really verbalized unless you've done some reading on it or something. You know, as such as inversions, which a headstand is an inversion. Inversions are a level 4 or a level 5 class. And during level 1, 2, and 3, we are getting your body and your muscles strong for you to do those really unique poses that a lot of us see and would like to do, handstands, headstands. Those are done after slow building of core, body, and muscle strength through all the other poses. So the first thing is don't expect that from yourself right away. The second thing is, again, strongly, really search around and see if you can find a basic yoga class that won't even be considered a level one. And, again, if that does not happen for you, make sure that you do find a level one class. Most yoga classes, no matter the style, are numbered from level 1 to 5, 5 being the most challenging, holding poses for 3, 10, 15 minutes, handstands, headstands, very active classes, and a 1 being very much time, slow moving on the mat, learning the foundation of each pose to learn how to align your body so that you can make the most of yoga.
You know, for all these years that I've done yoga, I didn't even know that there were levels like that. I mean, as ignorant as that sounds, I just kind of went with the flow. So that makes good sense. So are there, like you just gave us some good tips for the office, Liz. You gave us some good tips for, you know, just natural things. Are there things that you would say stay away from relative to yoga and to teachers that you would advise people against?
You know, unless you have some other knowing of the hot yogas, the Bikram yogas, they're very quick-moving yogas. I think they're very wonderful, but I would say they're even above a level 5. I would strongly suggest that you really look into it first or physically go and watch a class yourself before participating so that you don't end up injuring yourself. Also, be sure that you realize that anytime you go into a yoga class and if there's something that you feel like that you cannot do, slide yourself into a child pose and don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed that you're not there yet. It doesn't matter. You'll get there someday, but better than hurting yourself. So always remember that if your body says, I don't think I'm liking this, that hurts, it hurts. Listen to it. And hopefully, maybe after class, a yoga instructor will help you through that or direct you into a direction that can help you get there.
Okay, and you mentioned the child's pose. What exactly is that, Liz? Describe that so everybody has a visual, so if they want to try a child's pose, they could do that for themselves.
So child's pose is simply you would be kneeling on the ground with your legs together, kneeling, and your butt would be sitting directly on your heels. Your toes would be the front of your foot or the top of your foot would be laying flat on the ground. And then here, you're going to bend at the waist, or actually at the pelvis, right below the belly button, and bring your entire body over to the floor. So you're basically just folded in three, right? So that would be from the knee to the toes is on the ground. From the knee to the hips is sitting on, of course, the calf and the foot. And then the physical body is laying over the thigh. And then your head, hopefully, will go to the ground. If not, bring a block over and put your head there. And you just drop your shoulders and your arms, and you actually just relax. They call it child's pose because you know how a child can curl up. There's fetal position, but you know how when they curl up really super tight? That's what child's pose looks like. Is that just that real when they curl up so tight, when the knees are right up to the chest, and they're just this little tiny ball, child's pose. And that's
and
a resting pose.
It feels really good when you're in child's pose, too, and you do get to relax and just be inside of yourself. And I really love doing that Ujjayi breathing that you mentioned earlier in the child's pose, and you can literally feel the rhythms of your own breath then go through your whole body as you're doing it, which is, again, one of those things that really make you feel good. Now, when you, if people, like, feel really stiff, Liz, like I know a lot of people, they're, you know, sometimes they can be overweight or they can be stressed and their muscles are all knotted and tight. How do you help them kind of loosen up so that they can get into postures without feeling uncomfortable or sore? How do you help them loosen up their bodies using yoga?
This is where the Iyengar style came in again. Iyengar uses props, which you don't see in a lot of other yogas. Props are small square blocks that are about 6 inches by 12 inches. They're made of foam. I call them toys. We also have these long, beautiful straps, as well as we use blankets to create height and softness, like under hurt knees or under your head. So with Iyengar yoga, those of us that are extremely stiff and where our legs won't go straight, the knees aren't bending, or you have a shoulder that has been hurt and it just doesn't move in that direction, with these lovely props to allow what part of your body can be aligned to align, and then these props to soften these areas that normally might be hurting during this to not hurt, but yet allow us to use the other part of the body to align. So sometimes they're holding your weight, sometimes they're holding your position. We use them in so many different ways. It's really lovely. But so those, for instance, if we were to do a forward bend and then you can't touch the ground, you have this lovely block in your hand that's very soft, and it's 12 inches. So when you bend over, you have this lovely block that you put your hands on that you take with you. And therefore, you're able to right there start to create the stretch that's right for your body, where your body is at today. It doesn't really matter if you ever touch the floor. It just matters that we keep stretching a little bit each day and creating a little bit more length. And that right there will make your soul feel better.
And it helps you lengthen out and expand yourself. And I know one of the things that you've taught us in class, which I find fascinating, is that you talk about those back strap muscles. I don't know what the, you know, true physiological or anatomical term for those are, but those back strap muscles that literally from our sit bones, from the tailbone, we can expand, we can open up our back 7 inches, 5 to 7 inches. Talk about how that happens, Liz, because this is something that people may want if they've had, you know, some kind of back injury or, you know, feel like they've shut down. This is a way to open up and expand your body back out.
I found so interesting that in yoga, in general, a lot of us have lower back problems, and that's a lot of times why people will start taking a yoga class. And there's a part of the back muscle, which is below the buttocks muscle, that ends up being injured. Sometimes from lifting heavy things, sometimes from just from lack of movement at all, literally injured from just not ever being accessed. And then we will, instead of accessing the muscle and using the muscle for what it is, we just actually put a lot of weight on it. And as we move it, we really start creating some damages. And with yoga, we use the alignment of the bones and the body, the physical body, to help you learn to not access the, I always call them the cheating set of muscles, the ones that jump in there and help right off the bat, but to access the real muscles that create those movements. And with a lot of stretching, we can help lengthen them so that they, first of all, don't hurt as much and access them and make them feel better, as well as with yoga, we can strengthen them without doing things that we have done for years to hurt them, such as repeated lifting of very heavy objects improperly. We've all heard about improper lifting, and, you know, so on and so forth. And then really teaching the students how to access a whole other set of muscles right behind that back muscle that will do all this work for them. And it is amazing. Really, it is in everybody's mind. It's already there. What I'm doing as a teacher is bringing it out or reminding those files and bringing them back to you that, hey, these guys are capable of doing that, and these guys are capable of doing that, and this guy, we can just let him rest for a while. as well as heal and repair him and eventually strengthen him back up as well.
You know, one of the other things that you've mentioned in that whole process, and this comes from your bodybuilding days, is that your butt muscles can actually lift 800 pounds. And so us putting all that weight on our back doesn't need to be there, but we can actually have, once we reconfigure our muscles, we can actually have our butts, which are designed to lift a lot, be the ones who actually lift instead of our backs, right?
Exactly. As well as carry our torso. A lot of us have a sway frontwards or backwards. And so our torso is kind of either hanging off the front of us or hanging off the back of us. And by activating the buttocks muscles, there's three of them back there, and really working them and making them active and strong again, they actually are able to do all that work for us. Your buttocks muscles also kick up and can take the place of your back muscles. So
now,
by really working these muscles and really bringing them back to life, you'll find that it'll help bring your alignment back to life. It'll bring the way that you hold your upper body back, and it creates an intense strength for the entire physical upper torso.
I love that, and I'm actually a living proof of that one. What about people who have knee problems and hip problems? Are there things that you recommend for people with knee and hip problems?
Well, you know, again, with the Iyengar yoga, most of the time knee problems are not something that I can fix or repair. What I can do is help you learn to stretch the muscles behind them, in front of them, without hurting yourself or aggravating your injury. And in hopes that with whatever medical you're working with, that I can work in tune with that to help strengthen it and bring back that knee. The other thing that I think that I really go after is to teach you how to use your knees now. So a lot of times, just out of the way that we have done things for so long, we really don't pay attention to our knees. So I really bring a lot of attention to the knees and what they are doing. If they're going over the toe, if they're falling out to the side or to the right or to the left, if you're walking on one side of your foot, which is actually on one side of your knee, I try to bring that back to you so that you learn to stack your knees correctly and work them as they were meant to be. A lot of us do things with our knees that knees were never meant to do. We extend them way past their you know, supposed use. And so I think by aligning the body, that I am able to help ease some of the pain and definitely bring back some mobility with the yoga.
And so even if someone has hurt themselves, like in their knees or their hips, and if they have artificial hips or, you know, hip replacements or artificial knees, can you still do yoga effectively with artificial stuff, Liz?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Artificial does not change anything. The entire body needs to be aligned. So, you know, it doesn't matter if we're not using your hips because surgery has just happened. There is so much yoga in a class, 3/4 of the class still applies to you. And then we give you a couple of poses that will help strengthen up your legs to help keep that hip surgery healthy for as long as we possibly can. So with yoga,
Go ahead. The thing that I love about this is that you're also really honoring for people who have restricted movements. Like I want to be like I was when I was 20, but there's some people who actually do yoga from a chair because that's all they can do. They're, you know, overweight, they're whatever, you know, they've hurt something. So talk about how the chair yoga works. How have you adapted normal yoga to a chair?
Well, of course, I went to a wonderful class by Lakshmi Volker, chair yoga at a Huntington Beach. She does some wonderful videos. She really understood a long time, 20 years ago, that people that had disabilities still needed to be exercising. And some people's disabilities aren't going to go away. They can't be fixed. So she started and realized and really took notice to people that were in wheelchairs of how to allow them to do yoga in a chair. So we've adapted, of course, some of the poses to the chair so that you can get the same strength and ability. So if you cannot sit on the ground or you cannot bend your knees, we sit you in a chair. And you are still doing sun salutations. You are still working with us in every way. Just your leg positions are going to be a little bit different. And as I say, what we've actually done is we've put a block in there. So we've added a little prop in there so that the condition that you're in, you still can do yoga. And as a yoga teacher, the best that I can do is I normally sit in a chair with you so that you can mirror me. And if you cannot do one of the positions that I can do because of your limitations, then together we find ourselves a spot and remember that pose so that we can continue to have you grow even though you're limited.
So I love that. I love your patience and your compassion for people, Liz. Now what about, because I know we had a cancer person with us in one of our classes, and so you can kind of help people with cancer. What does that look like?
Well, I think cancer brings out the other side of the teacher in us, and that is the pranayama, the working of the breath, and meditation. These are very valuable in my own spiritual life. I really, really enjoy the pranayama and the meditation. And when I bring it to our students, which are going through different cancers, what I try to give them is a tool to help them keep quieted and centered during the treatments they've chosen to do. So when they come in, I always take the extra time and even change my class to go through with them their breathing and meditative states so that while they're going through chemo or they're going through radiation or they have to be in the hospital for a couple of days so that they within themselves can help keep their bodies calm. And I actually bring a couple things in from Kundalini yoga, which I'm not as adept in, but I definitely love some of the work that they do and have learned some of their pranayama sequences. And I just find them to be so valuable. They're also very short, so they allow people that have not been meditating for a long time to get there and to be able to use it as a useful tool very quickly because, as you know, with cancer, it comes and goes very quickly. So this, we don't have time to practice. We need to put some tools in operation right away to help them help their soul through this, whatever they've chosen to do.
To kind of strengthen themselves and from the inside, basically. And so
right,
they don't
and
have
quiet
to
themselves.
Woo-woo. It's just they don't have to believe in spiritual things. This is just more about the breath and helping them be able to move their own breath and their own energy, chi, through their body, right?
Exactly. Or to just actually use numbers and breath, just simple numbers and breath, close their eyes to create a quietness of their mind so they don't hear the beeping around them so that they can actually come to themselves, by themselves, within themselves during some times of turmoil. So, and just using, just counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, breath, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Think about doing that for 11 minutes. And while you've done this for 11 minutes, you've not been allowed to think about anything else. So taking time for yourself, and again, just allowing breath to come through your body, which helps the nervous system, which calms you down immediately, helps you to deal with what you're working on there at the hospital or in the clinic. Really easy.
I love how
the
natural
soul.
This is and how, you know, how really natural it is. Like, you don't have to, there's not a lot of production to all this. It's just if you know that you can breathe or you know that you can sit. So let's talk about the, when you do a normal practice, Liz, and one of the things that's different in your teaching from other yoga teachers and instructors that I've had is you actually start us with core strength. You start us out, with core strength, and I'm going to presume that's kind of like what you did as a bodybuilder too. But tell me what that means and why you do that.
Well, I guess that's a part where I bring a little bit of Western exercise into the classroom. There are some Western exercises that we do that I feel that are very similar to yoga, or Pilates maybe. That help start bringing the core back together. And I think what happens is that with the yoga poses, Those are fun, and we get to work them, and they help work certain isometrical muscles. But a lot of times they don't get deep into the core, which I consider your core, you know, right above your hips and actually right below your ribs. So there's, of course, that lower back, right? But there's the upper back in there, too, and then, of course, the entire stomach muscle system. But this is your core. This is what helps lift your torso up, so on and so forth. So what I do is right in there, I bring in some westernized exercises to help you slowly but surely build up the core without using any of the sit-ups or I guess are more of the known ones that we've all had to do for years that we don't like that I guess are not really working for us. And I find that people, first of all, they start enjoying the core strength. I start very slowly, so they don't even know it. I actually put it in between two poses, and then I start building it up each and every single time. And I just find that all of a sudden they themselves, within themselves, start finding all this extra strength and start striving. Then they become stronger in their own poses and start activating more of their muscles in their own poses and getting the best of both worlds. So I think it just brings it all together.
And then when you're doing the core strength strengthening, does that actually help you also sort of align your spine and get your alignment back in your body naturally?
Yes, it does, definitely. Or helps you find where your alignment is not. So if for, you know, while we're doing core strength, if certain things, if a leg's not working or things won't, you know, work correctly or move in the right direction, then we are able to determine that for some reason we have a weakness here. So instead we will work the core in a different way so that we can build backwards so that we can go back to that exercise and start building that side of the core.
So you help people actually get themselves kind of repositioned, for lack of a better word, balanced, and then that leads them to alignment. And then the other thing I think that's interesting is this is not about replacing, you know, like if you're like less strong on one side, it's not about having the other side continue to pick up the slack. It's about actually helping that less strong side start to go and build its strength back up, right?
Absolutely. I tease all my students, and one of my favorite things is one side of the body is always getting out of everything. It's like a 2-year-old in the Tupperware drawer, right out of there. So on my particular self, if I allow myself to not think, the whole right side of my body will do all the raking, it will do all the vacuuming, it'll do everything. Right? And the left side just laughs all day. It says, I didn't have to do a thing. So, of course, the left side of my body is not quite as strong. So the one thing I love about yoga is it teaches you to use both sides. So now I rake on the right, then I rake on the left. And raking on the left at first was really, it damaged the toes. It was not easy to learn how to rake the left side. That's how lazy that sucker had gotten. It was like it had been out there so long. So anyway, and then I finally realized it wasn't a matter of going after the other side and making it stronger. It was actually coming in and giving it a balance. So actually taking a little weight off the right side and giving it back to the left side and finding that complete balance on both sides of the body and then being able to use them made me even lighter. And that's the only word I can use is lighter. I feel lighter. My body, when I reach out my arms, they feel lighter. So when I do work, I feel more mobile, more flexible would be, you know, words that I could capture, but I actually feel light in my body.
Now, when you do that, do you feel like you're actually making yourself become ambidextrous? Because I'm imagining to myself how I would rake left-handed. Like, okay, I'd put my hands where I normally would have them right-handed. Okay, now I'm going to switch those and have them left-handed. Is it actually becoming more ambidextrous that you're talking about, Liz, with that?
I have to say that it lends itself to that yes. And maybe not even ambidextrous. I'm almost sensing that in my sense of this is that we are all quite a bit more ambidextrous than we ever thought we were.
I truly believe this is a design
in the body. It's just a matter of if you're right-handed or left-handed, that's just the way it's always been in our world. Then you write with your right hand, or you do this, or you do that, you know. But now
we
think about
this. And we were taught as kids, you only write with your right hand. So we're kind of predisposed to one side or the other. And then yoga brings, again, that balance back. Now, if a person had, like a half hour a day, Liz, or, some period of time, what would you say are like the top five exercises that you'd like or five postures that you'd like them to do, on a daily basis to just really help them have balance and strength and a sense of well-being? And then I'll go and find some YouTube videos that show these. So if you're listening and you like what you've heard, I'll have some videos for you. If I can't cajole Liz into doing some videos for you, but I'll have some videos to demonstrate these postures. So what would you want people to start with, Liz? What would be the first exercise you want people to start with on like their regular daily routine for yoga?
So my favorite with yoga is that right off the bat, I would love you to learn the six poses of a simple sun salutation. And that would be Suri Namaskar A, the very first one. And those particular poses are just a gift. The first one is Tadasana, or mountain pose, which is just standing strong, tucking your butt in, stacking your bones from the bottom of your foot all the way to your top of your head correctly, doing it with awareness, taking a nice forward bend and touching your toes, or touching your block, or touching your lettuce when you're out in the garden. Forward bend, Uttanasana, just a nice forward bend. A lot of times right after that pose, we do a half of a forward bend, meaning we bring our hands just above our knees and kind of push them and pushing our back forward, lengthening our back, kind of keeping it even like a tabletop, just coming right off of our hips, pushing forward, taking a nice breath. Right after that is a low lunge. There are so many low lunges. You can actually even use the hero's pose, which is just sitting on your knees for a low lunge if you need to start there, or with one knee on the ground and one foot on the ground. That's lovely. So the low lunge, nice big long stretch, opening up the hips, opening up the lungs, again, lengthening the back, creating alignment. And then after that, we go into, there's a couple little poses in there, but downward dog. And downward dog gives us that light inversion for the day, moving the blood through the cardiovascular system, gives you good breath. I just really like that pose for everything it's worth, for the strength that it creates in your arms, for the breath that it creates, for the reverse of the blood flow. It's considered a partial inversion. And then again, you're just going to repeat those poses and come back up. But they're so simple to follow and so easy to find that I feel like I've given everybody access to what I feel is very important and what I do for myself when I'm on vacation or when I get up in the morning and I don't want to think about anything. I just do a beautiful sun salutation. It opens my heart, and it just continues from there.
Well, that's fantastic. I can't believe that we're already out of time. So if people want to find you, how do you recommend that you have people find you?
The best way to reach me is through Facebook, www.facebook.com/Stringtown Mountain Yoga. And it'll come right up. It'll show you in the area that we live up here in the mountains. And please just give me a call. There's phone numbers there. You can message me through Messenger, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or direct you in any way.
Well, thank you again, Liz, for joining me today and sharing your perspective on health and well-being and easy ways for people to do that.
And Suzanne, thank you so much for having me on and for doing these wonderful podcasts and keeping all of us in touch with ourselves. They are just so lovely.
So for all of you joining us today on Living Life on Purpose, I want to let you know that my show next week is going to feature Dr. Maddie Dobbs, and she's an amazing woman. She's a co-director of the Center for Spiritual Living in Carlsbad, California, and she's written a new book called Soaring, Living Empowered and Joyful. It's a great book, and she actually uses the metaphor of a flight plan. And then the following week, I'm going to be having a wonderful woman who is into all kinds of charities and has fostered over 600 dogs. Her name is Julie Miller. So I have some great upcoming guests. And again, please do check us out on Facebook, Living Well Talk Radio Network, and I'll post all of these links. I'd also love to follow us on Blog Talk. If you've enjoyed this show, definitely follow us. And if you want more information about me, my guidebook, or to get a 30-minute session, you can go to SuzanneStreisauer.com. And again, I will have everything available for you on the Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page. So remember, be inspired for life and have a great week. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Enjoy all of the quality programs and archives we offer on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I look forward to having you back with me again next week. And in the meantime, remember, be inspired for life.